hate us because we feel good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. We're going to start out during the first hour talking to Dr. Milan Watfi about his new book, Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, A Darwinian Interpretation of Type 2 Diabetes and Related Disorders. Right up my alley, you know that. Then we're going to change it up, and we're going to be joined by TNA superstar Rob Terry as we talk about the training styles that enhance coordinated working relationships between the nervous system and muscular systems. Very, very important. In short, this is Functional Training 101. It's going to be good stuff because here's a guy who is a big 300-pound agile athlete who obviously understands something about functional training. Do have to plug Age Force once again. Age Force is offering a 30-day free trial on their fat burner patch, which now includes the over-the-counter version of thyroid hormone T2 and 7-keto DHEA, both shown to be able to help your body rid itself of body fat. You can get a 30-day free trial by going to superhumanradio.com, clicking the Age Force banner ad, and using the coupon code BURNBODYFAT, all one word. What do you have to lose other than a few pounds of fat? Welcome to the show, Dr. Watfi. How are you?
Fine. Hello.
Okay, so first of all, why did you take the time to write this book? What is it that inspired you to write the book, Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes?
Yeah, that has a fairly long history. I was trained as a microbiologist and biochemist, but then I shifted to wildlife research. And I worked on wild animals. I worked on elephants and a number of other mammals in some of the Indian national parks and sanctuaries. And while doing that, I was actually looking at the health aspects of wild animals. And while doing that, I picked up the concept that a disease is an ecological process. Okay. So at that time, I was looking at parasites and infectious diseases of animals.
Okay.
But later on, the same concept I found useful for non-infectious diseases like diabetes as well. Okay. And so I actually interacted quite accidentally with a diabetes research group. And when I looked at their work and their data, I said that I can see ecology here. And that's how we got into developing a concept.
Okay, so this is really an intriguing concept to me, first of all, because one of the things that I've been saying a lot recently is the relationship between modern disease and what we know about evolutionary downward pressures.
Yes.
And selection pressures. So, you know, I've said things on the show like childhood obesity is at an all-time high. When these children become obese as children, they tend to have fertility issues later on. This is the body's way of selection pressure. We're going to have children who will not be able to pass on their gene lines, and 150 years from now, the gene pool is going to be affected because these children will not be able to reproduce. They're erasing their gene contributions. This is the new evolutionary selection pressure. It's not famine. It's not ice age. It is actually, in my humble opinion, it's about information. Your information about nutrition, information about disease in general will end up causing this new evolutionary selection pressure. What do you think about that statement? Am I off base completely, or am I even a partial correct?
Yeah, well, evolution has not stopped. Unlike some people believe that now there is no evolution in humans, which is not true. Evolution is a continual process. We will keep on evolving, although it's a very slow process. And The modern challenges are different than the challenges that we faced in the past. But evolution is a very slow process. So when the nature of challenges change, our biology doesn't change that rapidly. Okay, so now you are right that the challenges today are very different. And evolution in future might take a different shape. It's extremely hard to predict what shape it would take.
Okay. All right, so now let's talk a little bit about, let's go back to the book for just a moment, okay?
Yes.
In the book, you delve into type 2 diabetes or metabolic syndrome, whatever you want to call it. And,
yes.
What have you identified between the relationship between evolution and the development of these diseases in modern time?
Right. So the concept has been around for some time, for quite some time actually, that there is a mismatch between the challenges in which we evolved and the challenges that we face today. Or the people have mostly talked about diet, but diet is not the only thing. A lot of things have changed, and I'm mainly looking at behavior. Okay, so a lot of human behavior, social relationships have changed. For example, feeding was always related to foraging in the past.
Right.
So today food is not related to foraging. It is completely segregated. Okay, so we don't have to hunt. We don't have to gather in order to feed. Okay. And then many of the mechanisms of food regulation are related to foraging. Okay, so food regulation in humans is not entirely a metabolic thing. It is a lot of behavioral mechanisms involved in regulating food intake. Now, today, all these behavioral mechanisms have vanished. So, for example, our ancestors were scavengers, they were hunters, they were gatherers. In all these activities, there is a risk involved. Okay, so if you are scavenging, you are competing with other carnivores. If you are hunting, then it's a risky activity. Even if you are gathering, if you are just foraging out in the wild, there is a risk of predation. Okay, there are predators around you. There are large mammals around you, like elephants or rhinos. And then you have to forage in spite of this risk. Well, which means that you have to optimize your foraging as opposed to the risk. So if you are already full, you will not go out and forage because it's unnecessarily taking.
Because it's danger. It's a dangerous practice.
Yeah, foraging is a dangerous activity, right? So, and then this is linked through some biochemical pathways. So there are two peptides in the brain called CART and alpha MSH. And these peptides interact with leptin, which is produced by the adipose tissue, right? And the interaction of these three peptides is such that if you have more of fat, you have more of leptin. And leptin regulates the production of CART and alpha MSH. So if you have more leptin, you have more of CART and alpha MSH. And these are fear peptides. So they keep you...
Vigilant. Like.
Right.
Yes.
So
yes.
If these peptides are high, then you are a risk avoider. Right? Which means if your fat levels are high, your leptin levels are high, you will be a risk avoider, and therefore you will not go out and forage. On the other hand, if CART and alpha MSH levels are high, it means that the perceived risk is more, then the leptin action is higher. Leptin is more active, which means that even if you have lower levels of leptin, you will not go out.
Right.
So our systems are designed in such a way that these systems link feeding with risk optimization, right? And that's how our feeding intake is controlled.
How does that relate to today? That we don't, I mean, approaching the refrigerator or the cupboard
right.
is not a scary scenario. So what?
It's not a dangerous activity at all, and therefore. Our food regulation mechanisms, which evolved for a hunter-gatherer life, are no more effective today.
Oh, so you know what? You just solved the whole obesity problem. We just have to put poisonous snakes in front of the refrigerator.
There are alternatives. So, for example, any kind of aggressive activity, it could be football.
Right.
Okay. So any kind of aggressive activity increases these peptides. So the simple thing is to take part in aggressive games. Right? So it is not burning calories. It is the kind of hormones and these peptides that respond to behavior.
Interesting. Very interesting. This is an aspect that we've talked about the relationship between obesity and behavior from the standpoint of the reward system. That has been elucidated to a great degree. We know that certain foods present reward, almost drug-like effects to the brain. This is the braking mechanism. That's the gas pedal. This is the braking mechanism that keeps the body from wanting more food, but it's not related to appetite. It's related to appetite not being as important as fear.
Right. There is an interaction between fear and appetite, and we have lost that interaction now.
Wow, that's interesting. That's amazing. So now, I mean, if you are an evolutionist, then you're looking out, then there's going to be a new regulator, we would hope, a new mechanism that will start to evolve as part of the ecology, evolve into us to help make up for that. What about this theory that those who are obese are actually genetically gifted because the being thrifty and producing fat was a good thing in a time when food was scarce and predictability of food was scarce?
Yeah, this concept has been there from the 1960s. So there's a person called James Neal who talked about thrifty gene for the first time. For his time and the knowledge that he had, it was an interesting concept. But today we know that the thrift thing does not work for a number of reasons. Number one, if you compare it to species which are really thrifty, so for example, the migratory birds that store fat for a long time, and during migration they burn it out. Okay, and they can migrate for 3,000 miles and so on, right? So they have this very, very beautifully built physiology in which they can store fat and they can burn the fat when needed. And during migration, they may not feed at all. They completely survive on the stored fat. Well, that kind of physiology we just do not have. So when humans starve, we start burning muscle proteins much before our fat storage is consumed. Whereas these birds will completely utilize the fat.
Oh.
Okay, they will not utilize proteins. So actually human bodies are not built to store fat and reutilize it efficiently. Okay, so we are not really built in for thrift. The other point is, if thrift is adaptive, then it is adaptive to everyone. Why should there be a polymorphism? Why should some people be more prone to become obese and others not? Okay, so there are a number of problems with the thrifty hypothesis, and it is under attack. During the last decade or so, a number of people have criticized the thriftiness paradigm. So at some stage we have to give it up and we have to look for alternatives.
Okay. We're going a little long. I have one more question, because then when we go to the break I want to change the discussion a little bit. But my audience and myself, we are engaged in heavy resistance training. And that training puts us in positions quite often where we are, to some degree, tentative or even afraid. Those of us who, say, perform squats and deadlifts with very, very heavy weight, hundreds and hundreds of pounds, we know that there is a fear component. When you're getting ready to squat, you're anxious, you're nervous about this, and then you are, because you're worried that maybe a vertebrae will break, or maybe you won't be able to hold the weight and you'll collapse and so on. So exercise like that has a fear component, does that change those of us who engage in that kind of exercise, or maybe the rugby player or the football player where there's always the threat of injury, and the body is being pounded. Is there an advantage to for those of us who engage in that, in that those peptides that are linked to fear and our ability to maintain, say, a normal body weight or lack of body fat?
Yeah, I would say that the aggression component of exercise is extremely important. Aggression and the frequency of minor injuries, okay, which were actually extremely common in the wilderness. When you walk out without shoes or without any protective cover and walk through the wilderness, through thorns, through bush and everything, minor injuries is extremely common. Now, today we have stopped getting injuries. We have stopped even anticipating injuries.
Right.
Okay. These injuries or anticipation of injuries, again, stimulates a number of other peptides which are called growth factors. So there are growth factors like EGF, epidermal growth factor.
Right.
Or nerve growth factor called NGF. Right.
Right.
There are very beautiful experiments which show that these growth factors are not only triggered by injuries, they are triggered even by anticipation of injuries.
Mm.
Okay. And these growth factors are involved in so many things. EGF is involved in beta cell regeneration, beta cells that make insulin.
Really?
EGF is involved in stem cell division. Okay. EGF is involved in wound healing. And so
yes,
on.
Yes.
Right. So when our injury anticipation and the frequency of actually getting minor injuries has reduced so much, now there is a growing deficiency of growth factors in our life.
This is so intriguing, and I'll tell you why. And we have to take a break because we're going long here. This is intriguing because when we look at social paradigms that are shifting, there are great shifts towards men being more feminized. Aggression is seen as a bad thing. And when we talk about aggression from this standpoint, from an ecological process, from a evolutionary process, it's clear that aggression actually could potentially be playing a role. Dr. Watby, I don't believe that just one thing is causing the obesity epidemic. I believe that there's a plethora of reasons that have all come together at one time to cause obesity in the epidemic levels that we have today. And one of those things could very well be that we have been bred out of aggression. Aggression is not a popular thing any longer. That's very interesting. We have to take our break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Dr. Milan Watby. If you want to get this book, and it's a great book, it's called Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, A Darwinian Interpretation of Type 2 Diabetes and Related Disorders. There's two ways to get it. You can go to Amazon.com to get the hardcover, or you can go to Springer for the ebook. So if you are one of those people who is anxious and don't want to wait for the book to ship to you, Amazon.com or Springer, I guess that's Springer.com, and download the ebook there. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio, where we will keep aggression alive. We'll be right back.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com. Com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Milan Watfi about his book, Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, A Darwinian Interpretation of Type 2 Diabetes and Related Disorders. You can get the book at Amazon.com or the ebook at Springer.com. I want to stay with this concept for a little longer and forego my next question, because we'll save that to later in the show. Since we're talking about aggression, we're talking about the effects of aggression on the brain.
So basically, I would differentiate between aggression and violence.
Yes, of course, of course.
Yeah. So the modern society should be based on, or should be going towards, zero violence.
Yes,
that is desirable.
Yeah, violence and aggression are two very different things. You can be aggressive in a sport, and and you're not perpetrating a crime, and that's not what we're saying here. But in both chapter 6 and chapter 7, you talk about of soldiers and diplomats, and you characterize these two types of personalities, if you will, and when to express aggression and when to suppress it. So let's address when to express aggression and when to suppress it as an example of we're not promoting violence here.
Yes. If you look at the origin of aggression, there are two natural causes of aggression. One is related to food. The other is related to sex and reproduction.
Interesting.
Okay. And then, aggression is risky, and therefore, you should use it very discriminately, only when needed, right? And therefore, when you just had food, when you have a stomach full, or when you have sufficient fat in the body, you should avoid aggression. Okay. Now, visualize typically what happens over a kill in an African savanna. A large number of hyenas and lions and all kinds of predators and scavengers have to fight for their share.
Right.
Now, if you already have a stomach full, then why should you go and fight? Because that is unnecessarily risky. You are not desperate for food. Right? And therefore, storing of fat is negatively correlated with aggression, and there are a number of biochemical pathways through which this happens. So fat is negatively correlated to aggression both ways. So it's a two-way causation. If you have more fat, you would be less physically aggressive. Well, you might be verbally aggressive. That's an entirely different body.
Right, right.
Okay, I'm talking about physically aggressive. If you are fat and particularly have abdominal fat, then you are less likely to be physically aggressive. On the other hand, if you are aggressive, you are less likely to accumulate abdominal fat because, again, there are pathways that do it.
Interesting.
Okay, so for example, testosterone, which is related to aggression, increases the beta adrenergic receptors on fat cells. Now, these receptors take the sympathetic signal, and that sympathetic signal is lipolytic, right? So
right.
If you have a combination of testosterone and sympathetic activity, then the abdominal fat is burnt off very quickly, right? And therefore, a man with high testosterone is less likely to be abdominally obese.
Right.
And there is plenty of data showing this, right? So there is a two-way negative relationship between fat and aggression, and particularly abdominal fat and aggression. The same is true, so if you have a stomach full or if you have stored fat, then you will avoid aggression. The second is, if you have lost your reproductive potential, then again, a major motivation of aggression is lost.
Wait, if you've lost your what?
Reproductive potential.
Ah, yes, of course, right.
Right. Then, of course, then again, the one major motivation of aggression has lost, so you will become non-aggressive. The third is, if you are weaker than the opponent, then it is wise to avoid aggression.
And there's been recent studies to identify the linkage between testosterone and aggression. Okay.
Yes.
And
and
because there's always a lot of discussion about testosterone begets aggression and violence. And the recent research that was done on rodents, where they castrated rats and then they injected them with the equivalent of 7,000 times the normal testosterone levels that they would produce in a single day.
Yes.
And they put them and confronted them in several social situations, and what they learned was that testosterone did not keep them from reading social signals. So they put them with another castrated rat, and they antagonized the rat, and the rat did not attack the castrated rat because he sensed that there was no threat. Okay?
Right.
But what they did determine was once the rat did decide that there was a legitimate threat, the testosterone caused a greater response in aggression. But it did not cause misdirected aggression.
Yes.
Interesting.
So the testosterone aggression, in fact, aggression is highly context sensitive, right?
Right.
And if some person shows a context insensitive aggression, I would say that is pathological.
Yes.
Okay. So aggression is highly context sensitive.
Yes.
And the context, so there are, these three contexts that your desperation for food, your desperation for sex and reproduction. And the third is, how do you weigh yourself against the opponent? If you weigh yourself as weaker, then you will avoid aggression.
Right. Right.
So the muscle power or muscle strength as well as muscle energy supply is also extremely important. So for example, they upregulated the enzyme called PEPCK in muscle. Nothing else. Just one enzyme was upregulated, which changes the metabolism and the muscle become almost immune to fatigue. And these rats became aggressive. Okay. You didn't give any hormone or it didn't make change, any neuronal change. Just the muscle energy supply was increased and these animals became aggressive. Okay. So, sensing, somewhere the body senses how your muscle are. What is the condition of your muscle and bone? And then your aggression also depends upon your own judgment of your strength.
Interesting. Interesting.
Interestingly, these PEPCK muscle overexpression animals, they're also extremely insulin sensitive.
They're insulin sensitive.
Right.
Okay, so what signal do they get? So in other words, when insulin is high, does it create a greater sense of muscle strength, or when insulin is low?
No. When you are insulin sensitive and insulin is low.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So when you're sensitive to insulin, as opposed to being insensitive or near diabetic, the greater the insulin sensitivity, the greater the muscle function.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
On
the other hand, high levels of insulin increase a diplomat kind of behavior. That is, it increases memory and some kind of problem solving and cognitive tasks, and decreases rapid action and aggression.
Interesting.
And risk-taking. Okay. See, insulin has a lot of behavioral effects, which are independent of glucose. So regulating glucose is only one of the things that insulin does in the body. Insulin does so many things in the body. Okay. Somehow we have associated insulin with glucose because that was one of the first things to be discovered.
Right.
Okay. But now we know that insulin is involved in so many things. It is involved in sexual behavior. It is involved in risk-taking. It is involved in memory, cognition, and so on. Okay. So when you say insulin levels are high or low, it is not only glucose that is affected. Everything is going to be affected.
Because the body interprets, when insulin levels are low, if I'm understanding this, the message the body gets is possibly it's time to feed again. So the muscles will appear stronger. The body is readying itself for the potential dangers involved in foraging.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, that could be true. On the other hand, the insulin levels are high when you need to be socially manipulative. And this has been beautifully demonstrated in chimpanzees and bonnet macaques. Okay? So you have, let us say, an alpha male who is strong, dominant, and there are many subordinate males. People have measured C-peptide level, which reflect actually insulin levels in their body. The dominant and strong males, and it is not only restricted to males, but there are more studies on males. The dominant individuals are insulin sensitive, and the weaker and subordinate individuals are more insulin resistant. And this is there in normal social primates in the absence of any dietary intervention.
That was my question. See, that's my question. So, could insulin sensitivity changes in the landscape of insulin sensitivity, do they occur independently of dietary interventions? In other words, I always think of insulin as a response to postprandial meals production. But are some people just going to become insulin insensitive at different times as a result of the social signals they're getting?
Yes. So
wow.
I'm not denying that insulin responds to diet. Insulin does respond to diet, of course. But if you look at fasting levels of insulin, right, then it relates to social status and social behavior.
I'll be darned. So if you are, if the goal is to be leaner, then what social, because actually, I don't want to say that yet, because that's actually the next question I have for you. When we come back, we have to take a break. Why population density matters? And I have a feeling that this is leading into that, is it not?
Yes.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. This is an intriguing discussion, looking at the etiology of disease, not as something that has gone wrong, but as part of the evolutionary landscape. You must get this book, folks. This book is a game changer. You can get it at Amazon.com in hardcover or download it as an ebook at Springer.com. Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, a Darwinian interpretation of type 2 diabetes and related disorders. This is amazing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, Mike Jeff, Mike Jeff.
You know, this is an amazing interview. I don't know if many of you, I mean, the wheels in my head are spinning, Dr. Wapney, because we know that soon after young couples become married, they have children, and then they blow up like balloons with fatness. Yeah. And from the standpoint of evolution, this is the natural progression of what should happen to them, because the need for procreation has subsided. They've achieved that. Food is abundant. They have a refrigerator that's stocked all the time.
Yes.
And they must become more docile, less aggressive, because they're raising children. Bingo.
Yes.
This is amazing.
Yes. In fact, a number of things are behaviorally related to each other. By behavior, I mean behavioral strategies. Okay? The way you behave socially will influence your reproductive strategies. See, for example, if you are a weak animal and you are not going to get good chances of reproduction. Maybe if you are a male, you don't have good access to females because
right.
there are stronger males around. Or if you are a female, the stronger females have occupied the best nest sites, and you are left with no good nest site. Okay, so this can happen. Now, if this happens, then the best strategy for you is to postpone your reproduction. And if you have to postpone your reproduction, then you have to do two things. You store energy right now with the assumption that you are going to reproduce later, right?
Right.
So storing fat is adaptive if you are weaker. The other thing is, just as you need to store fat, you need to avoid risks so that you ensure that you will live longer and wait for another opportunity to reproduce, because you cannot reproduce now.
Uh-huh.
Hmm? So a number of things are interrelated. And accordingly, the biochemical pathways are also interrelated. So the pathway for regulation of food, the pathway for homeostasis of glucose, the pathway for ovulation and spermatogenesis cannot be independent of each other. They are all linked. And they are linked because there are behavioral linkages.
Yeah.
Right? Now, similarly, if the population density is high, you need to change your reproductive strategies. If the environment has a lot of opportunities to grow, then you will reproduce more. You will make more offspring, right? But on the other hand, if the environment is saturated, the population is saturating, then it is wiser to make fewer offspring but invest more in each. Okay? So the reproductive strategy change according to the population density. If there is a high population density, it also means that there is going to be more competition.
More competition, right.
Right. And therefore, if you are getting more food, you should store more food, because tomorrow you may not get.
I want to state the nuance of what you just said. So in other words, as populations become more dense, the body
yes.
interprets this as there will be greater competition for food. And if
right.
the signal is for the body to become, and I'm not talking about the thrifty gene, but the body to become more thrifty and to create more body fat, because as
right.
competition elevates, we may run out
right.
of food faster.
Right.
So what you're saying basically is, in highly populated environments, there is
yes.
probably a tilting of the propensity to store body fat.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And then insulin plays a major role in so many things, right? So insulin resistance increases the investment in offspring by facilitating glucose transport across the placenta.
Uh-huh.
And on the other hand, insulin resistance reduces ovulation. Okay. Now, this is what ecologists have been calling R and K reproductive strategies. And R reproductive strategy is produce more offspring with little investment in each. And K reproduction is make fewer offspring but with greater investment in each. And insulin, and another molecule called adiponectin, which is also extremely important in diabetes. These two molecules seem to play the role of changing R and K, or refining R and K reproductive strategies. So insulin evolved for so many things. It not only evolved to regulate glucose, it evolved to modulate your social behavior, your reproductive strategies, your energy homeostasis, and so many things.
Wow. You know,
I'm sorry. Yeah, so if you want to understand an insulin, then you need to understand everything. Okay.
And that was what I was just going to say. I have to believe, yeah. Okay, I sincerely believe that the wisdom and insight in your book can have profound implications on health if, and that's the big word, clinicians are already struggling just getting people to eat differently or move more often. And what you're talking about here is actually, in my humble opinion, a complete change in social structures on top of everything else. Am I wrong?
No. No, I don't think you need a complete change in social structure. I will compare it with diet.
Okay.
We evolved for a Stone Age diet, for a Paleolithic diet, right?
Yes.
Today's diet is much different.
Yes.
But then, what dietitians advise us is not to go back to hunter-gatherer life. Right?
Yeah, but my audience, but Dr. Watfi, my audience doesn't listen to them because we do adhere to an ancestral diet. So that's the good news.
Yes. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, let's say if they say that, okay, you are deficient in calcium now, we don't change the entire diet. We take calcium pills. Okay? So similarly, we are missing certain hunter-gatherer behaviors now.
Right.
For which we don't have to go back to hunter-gatherer societies. We need to bring in the missing behaviors in the form of the rightly designed games and exercises.
And that's where it comes down to. So really,
right.
The kind of sports, whether it be powerlifting, for instance, where you're challenging your body with weights that scare you. I mean, when I think there's a lot of people in my audience will attest that when you're going for a one rep maximum in the squat or in the bench press, you feel threatened. You feel like, wow, something could go really wrong and I could end up dead or I could end up victorious. And those minutes, those moments happen every week for many of us. That actually is beneficial.
Yes. But essentially not just one kind of exercise. Okay. We are missing so many things. For example, we are also missing rapid nerve muscle coordination actions, right? The kind of things that you would require while chasing a fast-running prey. So we need a combination of exercises. So just resistance exercise is not enough. Just walking is not enough. Just swimming is not enough. We should have a mix of a variety of exercises that make up for all the missing behaviors.
Right.
And actually, we are designing such a set of exercises, which is due for clinical trials. Actually, we are preparing for these clinical trials, which should, if all goes well, sometime during 2013 itself, these clinical trials should begin.
And you know what, Dr. Watfi, we talk about on this show, instead of doing that slow, arduous cardiovascular training where somebody walks for an hour at 2.5 miles an hour, we talk about high-intensity training where you are literally sprinting for 30 seconds on a bicycle, and then you walk until you recover, then you sprint again. And that type of training, it sounds to me, ecologically and evolutionarily, is more of what we need because that sprint brings the body to a heightened level where you feel like, well, maybe you don't feel the danger of chasing an animal, but it somehow brings the body to a very dangerous point where you're giving it everything you've got. You're breathing, VO2 max runs out, your heart is pounding, you're sweating, and then you collapse. That is actually good for us.
I agree. But then I will also add that this is not enough.
Okay.
You need exercise where you have to make a very quick decision, a fraction of a second decision, and act accordingly. Okay, so for example, we have designed certain balls, which are not actually balls. They have corners and edges. So the bounce is very unpredictable. Playing with a perfect round ball is something, but playing with a ball that has an unpredictable bounce, you need very high level of alertness.
Agility, yes.
Agility, yes.
Wow. And you know what, Dr. Watfi, we have to take our last commercial break, but guess what the second hour of my show is about? We're talking about this subject during the second hour. We have a professional wrestler coming on. to talk about training that enhances coordinated working relationships between the nervous system and muscular systems. Because even though wrestling may not put you, your life at risk, clearly these men choking each other, throwing each other, bouncing and so on, this is the kind of exercise that actually can enhance neuromuscular reactions. And we're going to be talking about during the second hour. What a fantastic discussion we're going to have during the second hour. This is a fantastic book. I would implore and inspire any of you who really want to take your knowledge of disease states, the relationship between diet, exercise, and environmental signals to a completely new level, to spend the money and get this book, Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, A Darwinian Interpretation of Type 2 Diabetes and Related Disorders by Dr. Milan Watby. It's at Amazon.com, and the ebook is at Springer.com, Springer Books. This is not an inexpensive book, but it is well worth every single penny. It is a game changer. Clinicians, you doctors who listen to the show, you must buy this book. It will help you. It will help you help your patients. Because remember, diabetes is not a disease, it's a condition. It's completely reversible in 99% of the people who suffer from type 2 diabetes. All right, stay tuned. Right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dyes. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic.
Welcome back.
And we're putting it on wax. It's the news time.
Later in the show, we'll be joined by TNA superstar Rob Terry as we talk about the type of training that is required to be an amazingly agile athlete at 300 pounds of solid muscle. I've met Rob at the both the Arnold recently and then a local event here in Louisville, Kentucky. And the guy is he's amazing monster of an athlete and super agile. He can leap, he can roll, he can jump, he can turn, he can throw other human beings through the air. And he is hypermuscular and super lean. And so we're going to be talking more about that later in the show. Dr. Watfi, what do you want, or what are your hopes? This book is an amazing book. I have to tell you something. And what it potentially can do for health in general is profound. What do you want clinicians who read this book to take away from it?
Yes, a number of things. Number one, we are seeing that type 2 diabetes and a number of related disorders are not only about insulin and glucose. There are a large number of molecules involved. Okay, so all these pathways are elaborated in the book, and it's all driven by brain and behavior. Yeah. Okay, so just relying on sugar is not enough. We need to look at, well, the diabetes researchers particularly need to look at a number of other parameters which would be better than plasma glucose to monitor the progress, okay, and to predict and to prevent complications of diabetes. Number two, there is nothing in type 2 diabetes which is by nature irreversible. So in principle, diabetes should be completely reversible. Well, with the exception of extreme complications like end-stage nephropathy and so on.
Right.
But there is nothing in diabetes in general which is not reversible. So in the long run, we should evolve ways to reverse diabetes. I would even say cure diabetes. Okay. So which is in principle possible, but we have to work towards it. So a lot of research is needed. What has opened up is a new way of thinking. But this is not the end of it. This is the beginning.
Yeah.
And a lot of research is needed so that we actually work out ways and show that diabetes can be cured.
You know, I hope this book is written for clinicians, correct? Or I mean, that was the purpose of the book, right? For clinicians?
Not really. This is for a wider audience. Okay, anyone who understands science, anyone who understands biology, are very basics of medicine. Okay, so it could be a student of biology, a student of medicine, a person who is at high risk of diabetes, or a diabetic himself,
right,
or clinicians. Okay, so it was a difficult choice because the basic aim was to put across a new way of thinking. Right, and to address it to a narrow audience was perhaps not a good thing to do. Okay, so this is the first book on this line of thinking. So I thought of making it more broad-based. I think anyone who understands biology, the basics of biology, will be able to follow it.
And that's what I was going to say. This book may seem like it's written for clinicians, but I read the book, and I have to read it again because I read it, I gleaned it for the interview, and I am going to read it again. I have to tell you that I think anybody who is either a personal trainer, if you're working with clients to help them with disease states, if you're a nurse practitioner, if you are a dietitian, whoever you are, if you are working with people to help them overcome these modern diseases, this book is a game changer, and it will make you a more successful practitioner. And if you're an individual who just loves knowledge and information like I do, you've got to buy this book. You've got to buy this book. It's fantastic. There is nothing out there like this book. There's lots of books out there about diet and exercise as it relates to type 2 diabetes. But there's nothing that looks those books are like looking at one star. This book is like backing up and looking at the entire cosmos and saying, here's really what's going on. It's not just that one star. It's the entire cosmos that has to be taken into account when we look at this disease. Because, as I've said before, this disease, when I often think about blood sugar elevation, well, first of all, we know that glucose signaling is what speeds cellular senescence. That fact alone makes me think, okay, why does evolution require that the more sugar in your blood, the faster you get old? It would seem that high blood sugar level is a signal that the species is somehow nearing its end. So why is that? What the body is perfect. What is it that what is the body trying to tell us? And it's an amazing concept, but this book really starts to scratch the surface of not looking at the disease as some mishap, but in fact, exactly what is supposed to happen when all these other things go wrong. It's brilliant. I love the book, Dr. Watfi. I love the book.
Thank you.
A great contribution to science. I predict that this book will be used and what comes from your research. I can't wait to hear. I want you to be back on the show when you start talking about the different modalities of exercise that incorporate aggression and spontaneous thought to respond, agility and so on, and how that affects the physiology of a human being. Great stuff. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Dr. Watfi.
Thank you. I enjoyed it too.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to a guy who is hypermuscular, hyperlean, very agile, and without realizing it, practices a lot of the things that Dr. Watfi talks about, and we're going to learn how he does it and what makes him the best. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com.
Advertise.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active and need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends.
One of those rap guys' girlfriends.
Who understands those rap guys?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
She looks like a total prostitute.
You know, there is a constituent found in marijuana that is all the rage today, and it's not because it gets you high, and it has nothing to do with the legalization of medical marijuana in many states. And my good friend Stavin Bott, how you doing, Stavin?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Carl?
Good, good. Stavin is the Director of Research and Development for IAAM Wellness, which is an anti-aging clinic. It's the only, really the only anti-aging clinic within the region, in my humble opinion. He also teaches part-time over at University of Louisville, and he owns a company called Bott's Bodies, where he gets people into the most amazing shape where they step on stage. He works with competitors, pretty much exclusively. So cannabidiol is all the rage right now, but it doesn't get you high. And maybe that's why it's all the rage, because it does some things that yet does not get you high. When was it discovered?
Correct.
When was it discovered?
Well, here's a neat thing about it, Carl, a little background about it, is that, you know, definitely, you know, kind of that IOL, you know, basically kind of go with abbreviation CBD, but basically it's one of the two active constituents that are found in hemp oil itself, as well as in cannabis itself, too. Now, one of the key things about it is, as you just, you know, kind of pointed out, it's definitely not... it doesn't have any effect as far as any psychotropic effects in terms of, you know, causing type of, you know, symptoms and issues in terms of like nausea or, you know, weight gain or body fat changes or risk of diabetes. But what we now know that CBD has a big effect as far as in, you know, benefiting, you know, overall health as well as inflammation and being utilized in clinical test studies right now. But as far as it, when it first came to market right now, it's like it's just now started been openly being utilized in clinical studies in the last 3 years since 2012. And then, of course, as far as the main emphasis came out March 11th of 2014 when Sanjay Gupta from CNN brought out the video was on Weed 2, the cannabis madness, you know, in terms of where he specifically discussed cannabidiol being utilized in a young child with epilepsy and numerous other, you know, therapeutics were not working effectively, and they were able to see a major change and reduction in the seizure, you know, outbreaks within using the CBD product.
Okay, so CBD is a constituent of cannabis, but it's also found in hemp, which does not have any psychoactive tetrahydrocannabinol in it. So that means that this is not a politically charged crop where we have to worry about politicians trying to squelch the development of CBD use because it doesn't have to. It comes from hemp, and hemp doesn't get you high.
But that's right. You know, basically, it doesn't fall underneath the Controlled Substances Act of 1970. So basically, there is a section of the 2014 Farm Bill of last year, which authorized institutions of higher education and universities and state agriculture departments to study the growth, the cultivation, and marketing of industrialized hemp in states that permit such an activity. So perfect example is that that's now available, you know, several universities in Kentucky as well as, you know, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Indiana, and then about 10 other states have legalized hemp itself. But the main difference, like you talked about, the cannabis plant itself, any part of the plant, whether growing or not, you know, it contains what's called THC, which is the you know, the product that's actually underneath the Controlled Substance Act. And by law, you know, for hemp, you can't have a legalization limit of 0.3 or higher. So the great thing about hemp itself is has a percentage rate of 0.3 of dry weight, which, you know, is legal, you know, especially legal in Canada as well as most of Europe, which they have a set percentage of 0.3% for THC for the legal limit of hemp itself, though.
Now, the other thing to notice is that a lot of people remember that marijuana was given to patients who are undergoing chemotherapy because it's an anti-emetic or it's kind of calms nausea, but it was actually
right.
The CBD portion of it that is responsible for that, right?
That's correct. That's correct. The neat thing about it was in December 2014, I visited our World Congress on Anti-Aging Medicine, the 22nd Annual Conference in Las Vegas, and one of the key speakers at the event was Dr. Joseph Maroon, who is a well-known neurosurgeon professor and Vice Chairman of the Department of Neurology in Pittsburgh. He's also was the former, you know, team physician for the actual Pittsburgh Steelers, as well as he did the independent studies on traumatic brain damage, you know, mm-hmm. being done in athletes and football players and so forth. And he discussed, obviously, you know, the beneficial effects of how the CBD itself, you know, has a big effect on chemotherapy, neurological pain, even colon health, and of course, reducing inflammation, and without the negative side effects, what would be seen with THC, you know, as far as, you know, the negative effects as far as inhalation and weight gain and body
right.
fat increasing and appetite, you know.
Now, THC has a dopaminergic effect. Does the CBD have that as well? Is that where it gets its anxiolytic, antidepressant qualities from?
Well, basically, that they haven't really. What it does is it modulates different receptors. So the reason why it works so well, obviously, in epileptic patients. Now, keep in mind, there's literally in the works. They have, you know, around 34 different studies since 2012. Active studies and investigational trials going on right now with the use of CBD, including two drug companies in England as well as one here in the U.S. And the interesting about it is that basically is that the CBD doesn't necessarily work on dopamine because dopamine is excitatory.
Right.
So, you know, in regards to bringing down epileptic seizures, you have to modulate and reduce excitation and stimulation. See? So what it does is without causing dramatic drowsiness, it actually, you know, controls and mitigates, you know, that excitation by bringing it down. What we call the MADA receptors, you know. So And again, one of the key thing about it is you have natural receptors in your brain which work in what we call the endocannabinoid process in the body. So in those, you know, cannabinoid receptors are found throughout the body, but the largest concentration of where CBD works are on receptors called CBD1, which is found in the brain.
Okay, let's talk about cancer for a second, because this seems to be really where CBD becomes almost magical. There's a lot.
Yeah.
I did early research shows on research that was done on the ability for tetrahydrocannabinol or actually marijuana to suppress tumors from growing. Back in 2007, we started talking about that. And once again, it's the CBD component that seems to be responsible of that. And now that CBD is being isolated, they are using it to control cancer and tumors, at least in animals right now, right?
Yeah. Actually, just one of the drug companies in the early 2014, is they went ahead and were granted by the FDA an orphan drug designation to be utilized in the most common malignant brain tumor, which is called a glioblastoma multiforme,
right.
Which is a really nasty type of cancer. And then Dr. Maroon, who's done numerous surgeries on patients with this form of GBM, the abbreviation for it. So one of the drug companies is already in the midst of doing orphan drug trials, in trying to bring down the growth, these severe tumors that are found in the brain itself. Now, what we do also know is they're now using it, because here's the thing about CBD. It also, we talked about, has a very strong anti-inflammatory effect.
Right.
So it even acts as a COX-2 and 5-loxin inhibitor, just like Celebrex would do.
Wow.
One of the theories of cancer and how it progresses itself is how it grows. And due to inflammation in the body, well, if you can bring down inflammation and anti-inflammatory property in CBD, has been shown to almost have literally about 100 times of a greater effect as far as anti-inflammatory capability than even aspirin. So we do know is it definitely has effect upon reducing inflammation, which brings down, the growth of a tumor type or cell. Obviously, they have to do more research right now as we speak, and definitely being utilized right now in colon cancer. We know as far as a lot of breast cancer patients are utilizing it too. I know of two breast cancer patients who are currently on CBD specifically for the breast cancer right now.
Okay, now is CBD, we have to go into a break in about a minute, and I want to pick this up on the other side. Is CBD by prescription only? I see websites selling CBD oil right now.
That's correct. Basically, excuse me, keep in mind though, and in this regard right here is that, underneath the act itself is that, the CBD can be purchased, due to being agriculture hemp-based. So with that in mind is that it does not fit underneath the umbrella of the Controlled Substance Act. So
right. There
are several different companies out there that do their due diligence and, of course, do the chemical analysis to making sure it's tested and to contain exactly what it contains, and making sure that it has doesn't contain the THC and it's analytically analyzed to make sure it fits underneath the regulations of the FDA.
Let's do this, and I've got lots of questions for you. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Stavin Bhatt. This is really an interesting discussion, because you can start using CBD right now if you wanted to, if you can find a good source for it, and seeing some of the benefits yourself. One of those benefits is the ability to mitigate pain and soreness, which many of us in this hard training community suffer from time to time. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds, and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid, and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad
to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking right now with Stavin Bhatt. We're talking about cannabidiol. I always put a D in there where it doesn't belong. Cannabidiol. Yeah, that's it. I said it right, didn't I? I question myself. We're talking about cannabidiol because there's a lot of good information to be learned about this emerging, emerging molecule found in hemp. So, is hemp a heavily sprayed crop? Do you know, Stavin?
No, basically right now, obviously the majority of the hemp is you know, definitely non-GMO, and of course they also have a gluten-free. So, you know, several of the major companies that do produce it make sure they're, you know, it's a high-quality product.
And it's organic, I guess, right? Basically it's organic.
That's correct. That's correct. So basically the purification in terms of where they're getting the seeds from and so forth. And, you know, one of the key things, like you talked about before, is that, you know, the high quality has to be done in a specific environment that obviously you want to make sure that, you know, is governed and doesn't, you know, have issues in terms of, you know, the chemical analyses, making sure that it is what it is and the percentage rates and so forth, you know.
So would you say that as we age, I'll be 57 very shortly, and, you know, I train very hard and I have aches and pains, and do you think that just from a prophylactic standpoint that cannabidiol would be a good thing to take?
I think absolutely, because, you know, like I talked about, you know, in 2012 there were about 34 CBD studies, you know, and in those studies, you know, you had 6. They're being currently done right now as we speak in multiple sclerosis, you know, for in bipolar mania, but also in terms of neuropathic pain and cancer pain. There's two of those in there. So, and one actually in insomnia. And so what we do know is that it has a big effect as far as decreasing anxiety, as well as, you know, helping as far as that inflammation effect that takes place, which is MS itself is an inflammatory aspect of the nerve endings, you know. So in the brain, the myelin sheaths. So we do know that it has a big effect on that regard, and without causing excessive, you know, sedation in a way too, you know.
Does it cause any sedation at all, Stavin?
In high dosages, that's what they're using it for. Obviously, in the clinical studies being utilized in the epileptic patients, you know, they have to, just a perfect example, what Sanjay Gupta had talked about with the young girl, 6 years old as of last year. At one time, she was having literally 300 seizures a week. And from that March documentary of 2014, you know, Gupta has stated that specifically she had went down to having only 2 to 3 per month, which is remarkable.
Yeah. You know,
with the usage of simply using the CBD. So in high dosages, the ranges are so dramatically different. You know, right now you're looking at ranges from 10 to 800 milligrams a day in terms of a variety of different,
wow,
you know, human, you know, illnesses and so forth. And, you know, obviously in that regard, the dose can really differ, you know. But again, most people we see with some of the products available, oil, as well as even standardized capsules to bombs to even transdermal creams that are available, allow to have more bioavailability. But obviously, as we know, you want to start at a lower dose. You know, higher dosages would be incorporating people with major, you know, clinical, you know, issues and diagnoses, you know.
So what would a prophylactic dose look like? You think 10 milligrams a day would be adequate to see the benefits of cannabidiol without having to treat any type of or try to mitigate the effects of a disease?
Correct. What they're being using right now, I think the prophylactic type of range is 10 to 25 milligrams a day, which is kind of what's available in the standardized oils as well as the capsules. And keep in mind the hemp oil itself, you know, it gets the clinical benefits of having that omega-3 fatty acid breakdown. You know, it's one of the more balanced oils that are out there in terms of hemp itself, the hemp oil. So, and again, you know, that's what 10 to 25 would definitely be a nice prophylactic, nice healthy dose without trying to treat a major clinical problem, you know.
Do you take it, Stavin?
I have not tried it yet. I know we do, actually, after the December conference, we have been looking at one major company, and we have had a patient, you know, three patients that have been utilizing it, one with obviously with breast cancer. Not from the state of Kentucky, from West Virginia, and then we have two other people based locally in Kentucky that have been utilizing it. Obviously, you know, it's something we're planning to really use a little more. We want to make sure that, you know, we do our due diligence and get the information, and of course, making sure that, you know, we want to use the lowest doses possible to get the best benefits as far as prophylactic benefits as far as pain, you know. So,
you think it's good for people who have social anxiety?
Absolutely. I think it, you know, going by how it's utilized, you know, obviously, working on the natural systems in the body and the central nervous system itself, you know, maintaining homeostasis and trying to stabilize the body, you know, that we know that it can be utilized definitely for that, you know, and decrease anxiety specifically and without causing, you know, the only way that we know that has excessive sedation itself is in high dosages, which makes perfect sense for someone with a severe, you know, obviously, you know, in severe epilepsy and syndrome like that, you know. So
you work with competitive athletes. Do you see an application within the athletic community? Could it actually have an ergogenic effect for individuals who tend to get a little over anxious about competition, or even what about could it also stave off hunger? Can you see any applications within the competitive arena at all?
I think you could. I mean, obviously, you know, one of the benefits of, you know, when we train, we want to be able to get proper rest and recovery. And as we know, you know, simple, diagnosed insomnia is one of the most prevalent problems in the U.S., you know, in terms of people kill themselves asleep sometimes.
Right.
You know, trying to get 7-8 hours of sleep and due to anxiety can't sleep at night. Then they take a prescription-based, you know, insomnia-based medication, and they wake up the next day with a hangover effect. And then the day starts in a vicious cycle again, and they can't focus on their occupational, you know, function. So definitely, you know, in rest and recovery, and as well as having a beneficial effect of the anti-inflammatory effect for an athlete is beneficial, because it doesn't have the negative side effects you'd see with, you know, like Vioxx. So Vioxx was removed the market, was causing cardiovascular ailments.
Right.
You know, and then you don't have the aspect of the bleeding aspect if someone was to take, you know,
right,
too much aspirin.
Thinning, right.
you know, ibuprofen and Tylenol, which will cause, you know, any kidney toxicity or, you know, and then the liver problems, you know, on top of that. So definitely, you know, with the prophylactic dosage in terms of being utilized in an athlete would have beneficial effects for rest recovery and inflammation to lay down to the muscle soreness.
So it sounds like you're excited about the introduction of this new molecule, huh?
Absolutely. I think right now, you know, like, again, it's interesting, you know, atmosphere, obviously, with the current news and CNN putting so much information out in terms of, you know, medical-based marijuana, but obviously getting between the lines of understanding there's a difference between marijuana and hemp, and obviously, you know, being CBD, which is coming from hemp, which is not unlawful. And I do want to reiterate that because it is legal, to, you know, to ship across state lines and to utilize, you know, CBD products that are, you know, extracted and manufactured from agriculture hemp. You know, there's a big difference with that. So, you know, and that's important people understand. You're not consuming, you know, marijuana. You're not consuming, you know, something that's, you know, illegal per se from state to state. You know, it's coming directly from agriculture hemp, which is legal by law. You know?
Well, and I think the nice thing about this is it really finally allows us to say, you know, it was true. There were some sort of molecular benefits to marijuana, but
Absolutely. It
came along with the psychoactive part, which makes people
high,
and so it was demonized, and we've separated the good brother from the bad brother, and now we can just use the good brother, you know what I mean, and take advantage of all the benefits. I think it's great stuff.
That's correct, you know, definitely.
I want to thank you so much for being on the air with me today, Stavin, to talk about this.
Much appreciated. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to being on again.
Yes, absolutely. Take care.
Take care, McCall.
All right, so we're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to broach a subject that's very, very important. And that really is about the dangers of long-term psychiatric drugs, which is not talked about enough because everybody out there is on an antidepressant today. Not in this audience, but elsewhere. And they're even trying to prescribe antidepressants to children at a greater degree. But are the benefits there to outweigh the dangers? We're going to talk about that when we come back. There's a lot of information that's been hidden from your eyes and ears by the mainstream media and the FDA. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. So stay tuned.
Superhuman Radio.